Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the By Yahweh's Design conference call for the sixth day of May, year 2020. I am Commander Dan, your chairman and host for this meeting of the House of Jacob Israel. The agenda for today's call is the state of our nation, or you could say the state of our race. We dedicate this call to our Heavenly Father, Yahweh, who is the great I Am. We also dedicate this call to His holy remnant, who are the believing sons and daughters of Jacob, who was later named Israel. Today, these people are known as the Caucasian, or the true Israelite peoples of the world. Hallelujah, which means all praise Yahweh in ancient or Paleo Hebrew. To my Welsh kith and kin across the ocean, Shumai, and Noswath. That's my stab at it anyway. It's supposed to be good evening or good night, but good evening in Welsh. Cymru am byth is Wales forever. More and more evidence is coming out every day of our ancient language being Hebrew, and that Hebrew carried over into the Egyptian hieroglyphics. It's also carried over into the ancient Greek, which carried over into the Latin. And as our ancestors traveled and settled in the Misty Isles, it is the mother tongue of the Celtic languages, of which the oldest and most true to ancient Hebrew is the Welsh language. So, and if anybody wants more information on that, they can contact me on the contact page of PastorDan.net. And I'll be glad to send you some links to books and material. Also on the website, PastorDan.net, there is resource material and training material for the identity message and the history of our people. James 5, verse 16, confess your offenses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The insistent prayer of a righteous man or person is powerfully effective. That's the World English Bible translation of that. And again, we constantly talk about this. So the white race has lost its identity. Part of the problem in this world today is based on that sorry fact that so few of the white people even recognize their heritage, recognize the importance of race. It's actually mind-boggling how many people just so easily gave up on that. And it's all within my lifetime. When I was a boy, white people still were proud of being white. We were proud of our heritage. And we knew that this nation was founded as a white Christian nation. There are Supreme Court sites and decisions that go back to the late 1800s. That's just over 100 years ago. The late 1800s, long after the Civil War had ended, the War of Northern Aggression. And it stated to people who were not white, when they had cases come before the Supreme Court, that they had no standing because the Constitution only applied to Caucasians. And now look at us. We have become like every other white nation on this earth, completely inundated with non-white cultures and languages and people. So much so that we have no homogeny, no homogeneousness to us anymore. And the enemy knows that. Divide and conquer. And we are in the process of being conquered. In large part to our acquiescence and our lack of knowledge of who we are and our faith in our Father and each other, but also because this has been planned by the Antichrists for quite some time. They've known that when we stand together as a united race, we are basically invincible. They know that. You go back to the Bible verses talking about the ancient Israelites when they went to war. When they were of one accord, meaning of one mind, in agreement with each other, when they took to the field of battle, there was no army that could stand against them. It didn't matter what their weapons were. You got to take this programming and propaganda that's being forced upon you by your tell lie vision, your Talmud vision, those electronic devices or toilets that you carry around. Okay, that propaganda is to get you to think that we can't win. They've got too much high tech, you know, DARPA and all that. I got news for you. All that high tech isn't going to win the war. It's not. The war will be won on a spiritual basis by the will of the people that want to win, period. High tech can work for you. It can also work against you. And I've often talked about the fact that during the Vietnam War, when I was in the United States Air Force, and yes, I was young and dumb, I went and enlisted in the Air Force, and I worked on B-52 bombers, on the electronic transmitters on them. And I'm going to tell you, all that high tech didn't do us much good over there, did it? Not when your leaders are traitors. How many of our young boys and girls died in that godforsaken area? Okay? In those jungles with all of the snakes and the bugs and everything else. Died over there for what? So that we could make Jewish companies and corporations richer? And again, why? We forgot. We forgot that these people have infiltrated us. We ignored what General George Washington told us. We've ignored what the Ambassador Benjamin Franklin told us. We ignored what Thomas Jefferson told us, who is acclaimed to be one of the smartest men ever to live in this country. Okay, all of them told us to beware of these nefarious creatures that walk around in shoe leather, and we were lulled to sleep because we no longer loved the truth. We no longer loved who we were and liberty. We no longer loved that. What we loved was materialism, money, and the things that money can buy. We became heathens. Heathens will do anything for money. And that's what we became as a people. It's amazing to have watched it in my lifetime. I don't know. Sometimes I want somebody to pinch me. I feel like I'm in a dream. I mean, can this be the country that my ancestors founded? Can this be the country that I was taught about in civics and history class? Can this be the country that my elders talked about when it doesn't even resemble it at all? I read reports day in and day out. I'm scanning it because I want to bring you good news. The only good news I've got for you is that when this is all said and done, our side wins, because our King of Kings is not going to allow a usurper to take over. It's just not going to happen. But I struggle to see where we're going to be any good to anybody in this fight. I struggle for that. Can Father Yahweh do it? Of course he can. But everything I've read says that at some point we're supposed to grow our testicles back in our sacks and stand up and be part of that army. And I'm failing to see it. We've got a few people that stand up, but they're standing up for, quote, God-given rights. Well, who did Yahweh God give the rights to? His children. We're standing up for a thing called the Constitution, yet we'd say our rights come from Yahweh God. Well, which is it, the Constitution or Yahweh God? Maximus says here, may all Adamic persons listening gain strength through this message. Praise the Father. Amen. Praise the Father. Because he's the only one worthy of praise. Because his truths stand the test of time. I got into an argument earlier today with people I'm very close to over some statements I made about this government murdering General Soleimani. Okay, already we've been driven away from that murder. Okay, they constantly play us. We're being played all the time, folks, even when it's good news. It's always being used to manipulate you. I hope you understand that. The best thing we could do as a people is get rid of our electronic devices. Just get rid of them. Or at least cripple them to where all they can be used for is doing like engineering problems or storing your own personal data. But this whole interconnection and propagandizing thing should be done away with. But we got into an argument because the statement was made that the other men, see, they never talk about the other officials that died with Soleimani. They just talk about Soleimani. Well, what about the other diplomats and military people that were there? Well, that's just collateral damage. You see, that's what's wrong with our race today. That's what's wrong in this country today. We flippantly dismiss the murder of innocent people with a statement as ludicrous as that. Oh, it's just collateral. You see, that's what propaganda does to you. That's when I know I'm talking to somebody that watches too much goddamn television. And am I upset and pissed? Yeah, I am. I'm tired of this. I am so beyond this and tired of it. Shut the goddamn television off, will you? Shut that MFing thing off. It's getting ridiculously easy to tell who watches that thing these days. They have no gray matter that works on its own. They can't even tell that the murdering of innocent people is murder. They can't tell that the ripping of a baby out of a mother's womb is murder. Infanticide, not abortion. Abortion happens naturally. It's infanticide. It is the deliberate ending of life within the womb of the mother. That is murder. You can't even figure that out. Can't even figure it out. I'm just beside myself. I really am. I prayed that prayer so many years ago where I asked the Father to be an instrument for his kingdom and for the coming, his second coming. I wanted that as a young boy. I wanted it so bad I could taste it. And I lived in a farmhouse where I was talking to my family. The upstairs bedroom that my brother and I shared had no electrical devices in it at all. None. The only thing with electricity in it was the bulb, light bulb up in the ceiling that we turned on when we went to bed at night. And when you turned it off, there was nothing. No sound, no music, no TV, no radio, no nothing. Zero. The only thing you heard through the screened window was the frogs and the crickets outside. That's it. That's what I grew up with. So if this society's driven backwards towards that, I say hallelujah. I'd rather go back to those days because I'm sick of dealing people that can't think for themselves. All they can do is regurgitate the latest crap coming across that boob tube. And that includes Fox or faux news, fake news, Fox. Yeah, fair and balanced my ass. I thank the good Lord above that I grew up on that farm, away from all this nonsense, where me and my friends, we went out and played, and we caught tadpoles, and we chased frogs, and we caught fish in tin cans, and we skipped stones, and we swam in the creeks, chased the cattle up through the fields, did exploring, had mock battles with one another. We'd go on long treks up the side of a hill or a mountain, ride our bicycles down the road from the top of the mountain. We did all those things. None of us had any electrical devices whatsoever. We didn't even have a cassette tape player until I was almost a teenager. And look at us now. We're surrounded by this crap. And we're so imbued with it, we can't even think that there's life outside of it. I'm thankful that I lived long enough to say, hey, there is life outside of it, folks. I lived it. Thank God my formative years were done in a time when none of this crap existed. But don't get me wrong. Some of this technology is beautiful in the sense that even tonight we're talking because of it. So it's a tool that can be used for good or evil. But if it were to disappear tomorrow, I would not lament it whatsoever. I wouldn't miss it at all. Go back to reading books, having conversations, sitting around a campfire talking with your friends and your buddies. Actually getting to know people. You see, that's what this is all about. The 6-foot distancing doesn't have anything to do with a disease or a bug. It's got to do with keeping you separated. So there is no bonding, no human bonding, no commiserating with your fellow man. It's also to make it easier for spying on you. If you're too clumped together, they have a little more difficult time with that. So they want you spaced out, so it's much easier to control you. And as soon as that spacing goes down a little bit, they'll be notified that there's a possible rebellion. It's all about people control, folks. And I'm going to tell you something. Our Heavenly Father is a pretty simple fellow. Okay, it's not very complicated. You all want to think the world is complicated, but I got news for you. It's not complicated. Okay? Murder is murder. Rape is rape. Pedophilia is pedophilia. Bestiality is bestiality. Kidnapping is kidnapping. And I hope people in law enforcement and the military study very hard about the true definition of kidnapping. Because many of you are committing kidnapping. You think you're doing it under orders or the color of law, but in his eyes, you're kidnapping. Okay? Just keep that in mind, all right? So the state of our race or our nation is pathetic at best. Pathetic. Look at how many problems we have in this country, all because we are a multicultural cesspool. You cannot maintain your standards and be multicultural. You can't do that. You can't do that. Tolerance, diversity, they're all buzzwords by the Bolsheviks and their insurgency in this country. They are tools to get you to allow them to take over your country. And it's absolutely amazing to me how well it's working. Okay, we've got a caller. Welcome to the program.
Yeah, this is Cody from New York. What's going on, Pastor Dan?
Hey, Cody. Same old stuff, different day, buddy.
I've been listening to you. called in just to let you know you would basically kind of describe my life to a T just 2 minutes ago about how, you know, hunting and fishing and going outside and playing with friends all day and this and that. You know, I didn't have any electrical devices. There was no cell phones back then or anything like that. So,
right.
And it was great. It was awesome.
Yep.
You know, we need to get back to that. I really do believe.
I think we do to a degree. I mean, personally, if there's technology in the future, okay, let's put it in a building. Like if we lived in our communities the way we're supposed to, we could have a library, like in the old days. Put a library in there and have a couple computer stations where you can send an email to a friend or if you want to do some research for a paper or something, you can do it. But then after that, shut the damn thing off and leave it go. I mean, our people today think that there's something wrong if you don't have this electronic crap on you 24/7.
Yeah, exactly. Especially now, the way they're kind of tracking your cell phones. I don't even bring it with me anymore. It's like back in the old days when you didn't have one. I don't even take it with me anymore. I just shut it off and leave it at home if I go somewhere.
Amen, Cody. I've been doing the same thing. Actually, I started doing that about 6-7 months ago. Just something told me to start doing it, so now I do it even more. But you're right, I put it in, shut it off when I'm going outside or I'm going to go visit somebody. I shut it off and throw it in the microwave oven until I can get a Faraday cage or a Faraday bag to put it in. In the meantime, I just turn it off, throw it in the microwave, and close the door. Last time I checked, no phone signals can get through the shielding that's in that microwave. So, and that's a test everybody could do. Put your phone in there, leave it on, put it in there, and have your wife or girlfriend or buddy call you and see if it picks it up.
Yeah, well, I don't have a microwave. I haven't had one in probably 10 years now, but I heard like a tin can would work almost as good, maybe. I don't know. Throw it on a tin can. At least they can't hear you.
Well, I've also used just plain old Reynolds aluminum foil, wrapped it up, and the phone wouldn't pick up any signals. So
I wonder if a Mylar bag would work.
Well, we used to use Mylar bags in the power industry. They also called them anti-static bags. And as far as I know, they will work just like it. But the thing to do is test it, just like we said. Stick it in there and somebody call it and see if it works. And, you know, you made a good point, microwave. I have a microwave for the timer, the clock, and to shield my phone. I don't cook with it. Yeah, go ahead.
I just heat stuff up on the old stove again and in a pan, and that works
exactly.
Just fine.
Exactly. I've been against microwaves since they first come out. When I first found out how they worked, it just struck me as being wrong. And then I also found out about the leakage around the door and how much, believe it or not, folks, you're being told that's shielded, but there's still leakage. It's just like a bulletproof vest. They call it a bulletproof vest. Everybody walks around with this notion, oh, it'll stop a bullet. No, it might stop a bullet, but then again, it might not. There is an acceptable failure rate. A lot of people in firearms and militia and all that, they don't know that. But go read the literature, folks. There's an acceptable failure rate even for bulletproof vests. And here's the other thing. Most bulletproof vests are only good for pistols. They will not stop anything above a .22 rifle. So a 270, I don't have one, but 270 something up to a 30 caliber to above, it won't stop that. 223 SKS ammunition, it won't stop that. So,
you'd be facing 308 and 223, most likely.
Most likely, exactly. Maybe a little bit of that new 300 blackout, something like that, possibly. But the point of it is, folks, we're inundated with half-truths and half-information, and we've become a society that just accepts whatever the talking head, the blithering idiot in front of the camera tells you, and you go off half-cocked with pieces of information like we just said there. Well, the microwave shielded, so it's safe. And I've seen people actually stand in front of it with their face right down there watching it. It's like you don't know that there's leakage coming through that thing. Okay, same thing with the bulletproof vest. I read a story one time. A guy actually asked one of his buddies to shoot him. That's pretty stupid, but there are stupid people in this world. He actually wanted to prove that it worked, and somebody shot him, and it almost killed him. Because it went through the vest, okay? Well, I didn't think it. Okay, well, you didn't think, first of all, and it's stupid to test it anyway. Why would you do that? So knowledge is power, and, you know, I don't know what it's going to take to turn our people around. How do you see it, Cody? I mean, you're in prayer with the Father. You study, you look at the world around you. What's your impression?
Well, as I see it right now, at least in my circle and where I'm at here in where I live, I see a lot of people are actually waking up, like a ton of people, but there's kind of like, it's like, you know, it's almost like there's no hope. It's like people, they know what's going on, but it's like, what can we do? You know, it's almost like, you know, people are just giving up their liberties freely, and they don't, it's like, what can we do? You know, it's almost like, you know, there's nothing we can do about it. That's kind of what I'm feeling and what I'm seeing. And on the other scope of things, I see a lot of retards out there. Like, for instance, I'm seeing a lot of people are you know, they get a sniffle or even a fever or a cough, and immediately they go running off and, oh my gosh, I might have the virus, I might have the coronavirus, yada yada yada. Next thing you know, they're getting, you know, getting tested and getting quarantined when they don't even realize that, hey, these tests are bogus anyways. They're just gonna flip a coin. It depends on if they need more freaking cases or not. And
right,
they'll either, you know what I'm getting at? Like, oh, you have it, and then they quarantine you, and they freaking, they're pretty much watching you 24/7 for 2 weeks, and yada yada yada. That's what I'm seeing. I mean, I know a lot of people are waking up, without a doubt. What I've seen, and my circle, you know, I mean, it's not a big circle, but you know what I do, and in my travels, I've noticed, like I said, a lot of people are waking up. They know it's bull crap, but it's almost like, it's like, what can we do? What can we do? You know, they mm-hmm. you know. That's what I've seen so far and felt.
Now, the people that are waking up, is there a percentage of them that realize that this is a spiritual weakening of our people, turning our backs on the Father? Is there any talk that we need to repent and come back to being true believers again?
Not really what I've seen. I mean, I've talked to a few people about that, that this is kind of it's an awakening, basically. It's kind of like a slap in the face, and the Father's saying, hey, I'm getting sick and tired of this. You got to wake up. You got to freaking get your head out of your behind. But yeah. Not too many, a few of them, yes, but majority of them they know something's going on, and they don't know, they don't want to. It's almost like they don't want to get out of their comfort zone, they don't want to freaking risk, their jobs or, this and that and the other thing, their food and their good life that they have, that they've had for how long now, in the United States. It's almost like they don't want to give that up. So it's a hard thing to get away from that, I believe.
Yeah, it is. Well,
That's what I've seen anyway. I mean,
yeah.
not everyone, but what I'm getting at, it's like they don't want to. Yeah. Nah, they know that something bad is happening, but at the same time, it's like I got a family, and they don't want to give it up. They don't want to take that chance, is what I'm getting at.
Yeah. Well, along the lines of what you just said about people figuring out, did you see the article about the leader of Tanzania did not trust these COVID tests? So we had some people send in samples from non-humans, like a goat and some fruit and motor oil and stuff like that. And everything except the motor oil came in positive. So, you know, it just goes to show you.
My wife actually told me about that today, because she's awakened and everything about, yeah, they were testing, goats, and they tested, I think she even said, like, a piece of fruit or something they tested.
Yeah, yeah.
It came back positive. So,
yeah.
So, if that's not a wake-up call, I don't know what is. That's like, it just goes back to what I said earlier about how, there's no test for this. They just flip a freaking coin, and if they need more cases, oh, you're positive,
Exactly, exactly. As soon as it leaves your sight, as soon as things get sent off to a lab somewhere, the credibility of it, I don't care what it is, DNA, whatever. As soon as it leaves your site, you can't trust it.
No.
That's just it. And then my family contacted me today. They asked me if I'd seen any of the interviews by Dr. Mikovits. And she's the one that's going on lots and lots of channels testifying against this Fauci and his whole criminal gang. And I said, yeah. And we talked about that. And she works at a major hospital back east. And she sent that to some of her friends. And one of them wrote back, oh, it's fake because Snopes says it's fake. I didn't think there were any people left that didn't know Snopes is fake itself. Did you?
No, I didn't. No.
I thought that was proven to be a complete sham like 5, 6, 7 years ago. I didn't trust it ever. But I had some of my friends when I first started trying to wake them up back in around 2012 and that time frame. they used to come back with, oh, Dan, that story's not true. I checked it on Snopes. I said, well, who the hell is Snopes? Did you do any investigation on just who Snopes is? And so I thought nobody in his right mind would use them for a verification of anything at this point in time, but apparently there's still people that think they're going to hear truth in that sham of an organization. Well, at one time anyway, it was a man and a woman in the basement, right?
Yep. Well.
And if I remember right, they're Jews. So... yeah, Maximus just said Snopes is an old cat lady and her cucked husband, all BS. Yeah. That's what I love about the people that listen to this program. They're not soft on anybody. They shoot from the hip and they don't care if they step on toes. But that's good though. We need to step on toes. We've been asleep and too comfortable for too long, or as you put it, Cody. And it's very appropriate. They're in a comfort zone, and they want to stay in that comfort zone.
Exactly. Yep, they do. They want to stay in the comfort zone. You know, they've had it good for so long. You know, that's I think that's what a lot of it is. They just, damn it, they don't want to step out of that comfort zone. And sooner or later, they're going to have to, because it's not going to be comfortable too much longer. Well, of a lot of people, I'm sure it's not comfortable now. You know, I mean... You know, praise Yahweh, I still got a job and stuff right now, but a lot of people don't have a job right now, you know, and they're, you know, food's running out and this and that. But, you know, you should always be prepared.
Anyway. Well, my fear is what I see happening is they're tightening the noose around our neck because, like you said, many people have lost their jobs, their businesses, their homes. They're shortening the supply of food in certain areas. They're making people go jump through hoops to go to work. So what's going to happen after they've done this for a while and they say, well, we'll go ahead and release all this stuff, but you're going to have to take the mark and do the vaccine. You're going to have to let us inject the nanobots and track you 24/7 for the rest of your life. How many people are going to accept that, do you think?
Well, I think a majority of them will, only because I think a lot of people don't realize they're not going to actually tell you that there's a chip or a nanobot in this vaccine. They're going to be like, well, I'll do anything just to get this over with and go back to normal. But there'll be a lot that will that do know what's going on, and they will resist and they won't take it. And hopefully, you know, we'll have a lot more resistance than we do now with that. Because there's a lot of anti-vaxxers out there, if you don't know, that they know they're on to the vaccine industry and how they're bad and evil and stuff like that. So there's a whole bunch that you don't even know about.
Right. Are you familiar with Michael Savage?
Yeah, he's a Jew, but he's almost like he's, I don't know, he's kind of like a... Well, who's that? Brother Nathaniel.
He's like Brother Nathaniel.
Yeah, yeah. He tells the truth. He's a Jew, but he still tells the truth. I haven't really heard too much from Brother Nathaniel. I wonder if they friggin' got rid of him or just took him off the air permanently, or I don't know what happened to him, but I haven't really heard too much from him lately. But
yeah, he's still putting some stuff out. I've watched a couple of his things within the last week. Yeah, he's not as prolific as he once was, but he's still putting stuff out. Well, do you know that Michael Savage, on a recent radio broadcast of his, said two things. One, that the militia should be forming outside Charles Schumer's house, basically to arrest him, I guess. And number two, he said, I will never allow them to put a vaccine in my body. And if they try to, I'm going to go off to the hills and I'm going to join a militia.
Well, I mean, you bring up another point. I mean, I guess it's all in where you live right now at this time and point. I've been hearing for years that out in the country is the place to be, and I think they're going to start in the cities, more or less, where the most population is. And it's just my opinion, but I don't think they're going to make it mandatory right off the bat, because I think they realize that a lot of people are going to come flocking to it anyway.
But exactly.
I could be wrong. Don't quote me on that. I don't know, but that's just kind of like my inkling, but yeah, I believe they're going to do the cities first, and then, you know, the most populated areas, and I guess the rural areas would be last. That's just my opinion, though. So, like I said, take it with a grain of salt.
Yeah. Well,
if
everybody listening could just keep their eyes open for a community that's looking for a pastor. Is there anywhere that they want a guy that's trained in radio technology, electronics, jamming equipment, has a ham radio, can do carpentry, drywalling, painting, rough carpentry, farming, tractors, work on cars? That's my resume. There's some other things I can do. I'm a touch typist and a technical writer as well. I can do all that stuff, and I need somewhere to go. I need to get the hell out of this area, and I would love to find out there's a group of people somewhere, like you're saying, Cody, that have had enough of this and want to work together as a team. That's my dream and my prayer, that they're finally fed up enough that they'll put differences aside, their personal wants aside, and realize that we as a race are on the verge of extinction, and they care enough that they want to go somewhere and work together. Because I'm convinced, Cody, that anywhere a group of us set with our drive and our intellect and our spiritual qualities, I can't see how we could fail. I don't see how we could not either do farming, ranching, organic marketing of crops, something that we could do as a group and support each other and get out of this Babylonian BS. Because I think you're right. I don't really think they're going to force it. I think they're going to have enough people who are completely brainwashed that'll volunteer. All they got to do is put something on Fox News saying it's a good thing to do, and there's a whole bunch of people that'll just go out and do it.
Yeah. Like I said, like that's part of their plan. I think they're opening places here and there. I mean, not in New York, of course, because we live with a freaking dictatorship right now. But they're gonna let it run its course so much that people will just be like, I don't care, whatever you want me to do, as long as we get back to normal. And that's
right.
What they'll you got to do this, take this vaccine, and then That's all that. But then again, I mean, you have to think about it, this vaccine, and then, you know, they got to get that 5G up and running. But as long as people keep, cutting down the towers and burning them, that, you know, that's a good thing as well.
Right. Now, I heard an interesting interview on Jeff, I think it was on Jeff Renz, was interviewing Frosty Wooldridge, who's a friend of mine. He's got a website called Numbers USA. He's got tons and tons of information on the immigration and what it's doing to us. And as he said, all immigration should be shut down completely. All immigration for at least 25 years. And we need to get the ones that are here illegally and really don't belong here anyway, get them the hell out. So, but they were talking about, it just jumped out of my head. I went down that sidetrack and now I lost my train of thought. Oh boy, it'll come back to me. Skip that one. Anyway, they were having an interesting conversation. Somehow it had to do with what you and I were just saying, but I just lost it. Too much stuff going on. I got stuff running around in my head like 24/7. In fact, it's hard to get good night's sleep anymore because it's even in my dreams. It seems lately there's stuff dealing with all of this garbage.
Trust me on that. I got the same problem. Sometimes I'm always thinking, always kind of, thinking in different scenarios and this and that and everything else. So, well, what can you do? Just have faith and trust in the Father.
Right. I think they were talking about the community. The fact that there's a lot of people starting to leave the suburban areas and the urban areas to get back on family farms. I've heard that from several sources, actually. One of our listeners, Maximus, says here that they, and that's in triple parentheses. So the Jews are currently hiring an army of contact tracers across this country. Didn't Obama mention something once about forming a, quote, army independent of the military? Well, yeah, they have. But they've also created an army by smearing us. Okay, if you're an anti-vaxxer, they're putting out propaganda that we're a problem. If you don't want to wear a mask, if you don't believe the CDC and this criminal Fauci, you're a problem. They're trying to get us, turn half the population on the other half. All the more reason that if getting out into the country somewhere, getting away from all this nonsense. It just seems like the right thing to do. I just pray for a door to open at some point, because it's frustrating being around brain dead white people. It really is. I don't know. It just wears on you. It wears on you because you're sitting here with all this information, and you know what I'm talking about, Cody. If you've been paying attention for any length of time, then you're armed with a lot of facts. You're armed with a lot of the truths to counter the propaganda. And yet there's so many people, they just don't care. Now, you're right. I think there is an awakening right now because things have gotten so bad that there's actually some people starting to think again. But there's still a lot of people out there. You try to tell them, like, for instance, about natural health and where they're lying to us about what we need to be healthy and everything else. And they look at you like you're crazy. I don't know. But do you have an inkling yourself as to timeline, where we are? Do you think this is the final big push, or is this a setting up for the final big push?
Timeline-wise, I mean, well, we're not to the mark of the beast yet. And it seems like, Babylon is going to burn, but... timeline. We're not to the mark of the beast yet. I think that's down the line a little bit, but it's coming. I think we're about the mark of the beast, just about. And then after that, I mean, I almost think about Washington's prophetic vision about how there's fighting in almost every town and city, right. and what he had said. And I'm thinking that maybe, people aren't going to want to take this freaking vaccine because, like I said, a lot of people are waking up to it. Like the other day, I had a guy at work. I never even said this to him before because I do my damnedest to wake as many people up as possible as to what's going on. And he said something about that I never even told him about. Hey, this vaccine. They're talking about there's going to be a chip in the vaccine and blah blah blah. And I never even told him that before. So. I mean, what does that kind of tell you? At least it tells me, people are, it's kind of like going around. It's almost like, the internet is it's a blessing to us, and it's almost like a curse to the enemy. I mean, because, they don't want all that stuff out there, but yet there it is. They can't stop it. So
right. Well, it's kind of funny when we started this radio show. I used to have a lot of guests, and we'd talk about, well, when are the Israelites, the white people, going to wake up? And we used to kind of like kid around a little bit that it's going to take a hell of a lot of pain to wake up most of these people. And wow, now we're seeing it.
I mean, we're definitely in tribulation, that's for sure, without a doubt.
Mm-hmm. Especially for Americans, because Americans are pampered.
Oh yeah,
without a doubt, they're pampered probably more than any other people on Earth.
Yeah, I mean, just think about all these other nations around the world have been getting bombed for how long now, and just had tons of tribulation on them constantly, nonstop for how many years, and we've not nothing really besides 9/11. And besides the world wars, but other than that, I don't know. It just seems like they've been pampered for so long, and now it's kind of a wake up call to them. They're like, holy crap, what the heck is going on?
Well,
I think that's part of the Father's doings. I think he's waking people up, saying, hey, I'm here. You know, you're being distracted constantly by all this bull crap, you know, this materialistic crap. Hey, they've basically taken the Heavenly Father out of just about everything, you know, in their daily lives, you know, in their schools, sure, and everything else. So that's what I think it is too. He's this is his way of waking people up, kind of, instead of slapping them in the face and, hey, you know, you got to wake up.
Right.
I could be wrong.
I was glad to see that church in Virginia on an island. It's I can't even pronounce it. Some strange Indian name. But anyway, there's a living fellowship type church. 200 and I think the church can hold almost 300 people. But the pastor recently was arrested, and I think he was fined $2,500. And they only had like 20. Less than 20 people showed up in a building that can hold 300, but because it was more than 10, the police arrested them. And the governor or whoever said that he, or judge, I'm not sure, somehow the governor's involved, and they put him in jail, or were going to put him in jail and fine him this money. Now he's filed a lawsuit, and they are petitioning for people to support them. They're going after the governor, Governor Northam in Virginia. So personally, I think he should be put on trial for a hell of a lot more than just that. I think he should be tried for treason. The guy's a complete a demagogue, and he needs to be put on trial for treason. Have you heard anything about that?
I haven't. No, this is, you just told me now, that's the first I've heard of that. But I do believe that, you know, back when you know, they had that that patriotic movement, the Second Amendment rally, where how many armed patriots showed up. I do have a feeling that they're still there, that they're just kind of like on the down low. You know what I'm saying? I think there's a lot of that around, that, you know, they're not showing themselves yet, because I don't think a lot of people's buttons have been pushed enough. It almost seems like that, you know, if you start messing with people's Second Amendment is where they really start baring their teeth. You know what I'm saying? So I think, maybe that has something to do, you know, you mess with their Second Amendment is when a lot of people start freaking rearing up in this country and kind of baring their teeth and stuff like that. So, but they really haven't messed with that, because I really think that they know better. I really do. I kind of think this whole plandemic thing is kind of like going around that, because they know they've tried and tried and they can't get our weapons. So I have a feeling, you know, maybe this is kind of like what they're doing now a little bit as well.
Right. Now, some of the commenters here are saying that they think the ID 2020 vaccine is the mark. It's evil, whether it's the actual mark or not, it's evil. And then Ralph in Canada says here he thinks Revelation 13 was fulfilled between 1000 BC and 1800 AD. The Catholic ruling church had their own mark of the beast, where if you were not part of it, you were unable to buy and sell. So whether it's the actual one or just in the former one, it's still evil. So it's got to be resisted. And then he says here, for all intents and purposes, we've had our own mark of the beast since the Social Security number was introduced. Try to buy or sell for the last 80 years without it. And, you know, he's right about that. I had a long talk with an Assembly of God preacher one time. He had never thought of it. And I told him, I said, tell me what part of the Social Security number is not described with the mark of the beast. Because you can't get a job without it. You can't buy a house without it. You can't get a check cashed without it. Now you can't get a driver's license without it. So, you know, in a way, they've been setting us up for this with the Social Security system for a long, long time, since 1913.
Well, I mean, as far as the Social Security thing is, I mean, I didn't have a choice. You know, you're born and that's what your parents gave you. I mean, you don't really have a choice in that. I think that, you know, this mark will be, you know, you either serve Heavenly Father or you serve, you know, Satan. And in concordance, if you look it up, a mark, it means like an etching or scratching. And it also it also, I think it's the Greek where it says it's a mark of servitude, if you look it up.
Right.
So, I mean, the Social Security, I guess, yeah, in a way, I guess it's kind of a mark, but I mean, you really don't have a choice. I mean, this mark, I think in Revelation is, you know, you're given a choice, basically.
So you're saying it, you think it's differentiated in the sense that you will willingly give your allegiance to the beast.
Yes, I think that's what I'm getting at. Yeah, the Social Security, yeah. Like I said, I mean, when you're born, you get that when you're born. I mean, it's not, you don't really have a choice in that. You know, I didn't know, you know, my parents gave me a Social Security number. How was I, you know, I had no choice in that. So, like
right.
you said, you have a choice in this mark here.
Well, I think it does show us that governments typically are evil, okay? Governments on their own are evil. I don't know of a single government in history that was not evil. It's just the form, government. I mean, that's why the Bible calls it a beast. Okay, governments in general are evil. They've killed far more people than any criminal organization ever did. They've poisoned more people. They've enslaved more people. They've murdered more people. They've terrorized more people. They've propagandized more people than any criminal element ever even dreamed of. So at some point we have to wake up to the fact that centralized, well, actually anything centralized is communist, but centralized government is the most evil thing on earth. At least that's the way I see it.
Oh, it definitely is.
So we got to come away from that. We got to get back to local government, just like the libertarians and the propertarians talk about. We got to get down to the county level, and the power of the county has to be a righteous man. And notice I said man, not a woman. I'm sick of women in government. I'm sick of women in all kinds of positions they don't belong in. The county sheriff, a righteous man, working with the leaders of the various local militia. Not one militia, various militias. There should be more than one or even two. There should be, every township should have its own militia. Because if you only have one, then pretty soon it's the corrupt sheriff and the corrupt militia guys. So the way you have a check and balance against that is by having power spread out throughout the various militias. And then that keeps an eye on it. If a sheriff becomes evil, then the militia go after the sheriff. And the various sheriffs could support each other in neighboring counties if they got a bigger problem or whatever. But keep the state government out of the picture as much as possible, and the federal government be either non-existent, go back to individual states again, because we could survive as individual states. We don't need a federal government. Think about it. Most of the states of this nation are as big as most countries. Certainly California. California is bigger than many countries in this world. So is Texas and Alaska. So our states could easily function all by themselves with their own banking, their own government, and their own sovereignty. And they just work as a loose confederation instead of this united. United what? Why would a common set of rules apply to people in North Dakota as it does to people in South Carolina? Completely different environments, different people, different location, different crops, different animals, different economies. So trying to get everybody to live under one set of rules is ludicrous. That's why the states' rights was a major part of the Founding Fathers wrote the different documents to maintain state sovereignty, because you want most of your government, almost all of your government, to be local. That's the only way to keep it under control. At least that's how I see it.
Well, I agree with that. The only thing I'm saying is what's going on in this state here in New York? I mean, as far as we got, you know, if you have a righteous governor, yeah, it works. But if you got a tyrannical governor like we have right now, now we've been trying to get this guy out of here for, oh my gosh, 8 years now. I think he's been in what, two terms? And the problem is, the people from New York City pretty much carry the vote every time, because there's more people in New York City than there is in the rest of the entire state of New York. So there's even been petitions going around for a while now that we just want to be separated from New York City altogether and just kind of do our own thing out here in the rest of the state. But
amen.
It hasn't really gotten anywhere because the tyranny, he pretty much shuts it down. So that's the problem. You can't get them out.
Well, the people eventually are going to have to organize and just simply walk away, okay? These governors, just walk away. Don't send them any money. Don't send your sons and daughters to their police academies or the National Guard or the Army or any of that stuff. Keep them home. Don't let them go off and support those assholes. And we need to basically put them on trial. If they try to force anything, put them on trial for treason, and then the people need to walk away from supporting the major cities. Because like you said, every state just about has a problem with a large populated city overriding the countryside. I know Michigan, when I lived there, Flint, Michigan, and Detroit govern the politics of the state. Those two cities, that's it. Well, the people in the countryside of Michigan are just like the people when I worked in New York up in Oswego. Okay? The people up there are just like the people in rural Michigan and rural Pennsylvania and rural Ohio and rural Indiana and rural Idaho when I was out there and Illinois. The people in the countryside are pretty much the same old common folk that are everywhere. It's these gosh darn cities that are causing the problem. Maybe that's why the Bible tells us to get out of the cities, because he's going to burn them to the ground. I hope he does, actually. I don't care for cities. I've never cared for cities.
There's been a lot of people in my circle that have wanted that to happen in New York for a long time. He doesn't treat, like say law enforcement and stuff like, he doesn't treat them very well. There's a lot of people in a lot of state workers, I'll say, that they have a lot of disdain for him. Pretty much so.
Let me ask a question. Now, we've talked about it on this program, and let me just post it to you, and then people can comment on it as well. Let me interject here. Tomorrow is a National Day of Prayer for anybody that wants to join with the many of Americans are calling for a National Day of Prayer tomorrow for 2 Chronicles 17, and that our Father will heal this land, because it's going to take intervention. But one of the things that I talk about all the time, and I've never talked to you personally about it, Cody, but I'll just get you to give me your opinion. The way I see it, we are so dysfunctional right now. Every mechanism for righteous government has been compromised, okay? I see our situation here very much like, for those of you who have studied history, very much like the days of the Republic of Rome, when the Roman Empire was a republic, and Rome became corrupt. The senators and politicians in Rome became very, very corrupt. And it was the generals of the legions that got together and said, Rome is going to destroy the republic if we don't step in. And they marched into Rome with the legions and many times put the corrupt politicians to the sword. But they restored order. They got rid of the bad guys by either execution or however, and implemented new elections and put new, more righteous people in charge of the republic. And then they left. I kind of see our situation being very similar. I see it that we need an uprising, and we need leadership to lead an uprising to dismantle this corrupt society. The corruption needs to be cut out from government, the medical institutions, the school system. This same, and let's call it what it is, Zionist Talmudic poison has permeated this society. It needs to be extricated much like a doctor takes a cancer or other disease out of a healthy body. We can't survive with this cancer operating amongst us. Do you see any flaws in that logic?
Oh, no, none whatsoever. Yeah, we definitely, it does have to, the cancer has to be cut out, basically. It's they're parasites anyways. They're eventually going to kill the host, what they've been doing for a long time now. But yeah, they definitely have to be taken out. They have to be destroyed. Now, I'd seen in Lansing, Michigan, that they actually almost got by the police on the Capitol building, because the governor and her ilk were in a meeting trying to decide what they should open up first and everything. So I've been told, and they almost got right in there to the meeting room there. I don't know if you've heard anything about that, but it mm-hmm. kind of pertains to what you're talking about, people or, groups saying enough is enough. We gotta arrest these freaking people and put them on trial. These corrupt governors and, figureheads and stuff like that.
Yeah, what we need is a citizen's grand jury's working with the local militia and the sheriff. Where the good sheriffs are, okay? You got to get a good sheriff. And if you don't have one, you need to get rid of the guy that's in there. However you have to do it, get his ass out of there and elect a righteous, constitutional, biblical white man as your sheriff, because that's what it has to be. It's our country. It's our country. And that black preacher in Harlem, New York, is the one that said it, and he said it best. James David Manning, he said, "This country is going to die if the white people do not rise up and take it back. They built it. They founded it. It's their culture that built it. It's their value system that made it great. They have to take it back." I agree with them. Do you?
Oh, definitely, 100%. Yep. It's you're not gonna see pretty much, I don't think, any other race than the white man stand up and take this country back. To be honest with you, I mean, you'll have a few blacks or other races join in, but for the most part, it's gonna be white Caucasians that are gonna have to do it, because I don't see any other race really stepping up and doing it.
Well, you look at the various rallies, okay? I've taken notice of the rallies, like up in Lansing, Michigan. I think Flint or one of the other cities in Michigan had a pretty good sized protest as well. And you look around the country, and I remember when some of my family and I went to the first Tea Party rally in Washington, D.C. in 2009. The crowd in all of these cases, and the Second Amendment rallies recently, you take a look at the crowds, and you're going to notice they're like 98% Caucasian. 98%. In fact, in 2009, the communist mainstream media was saying that the Tea Party rally was a racist event. Now, why was it racist? Because it was almost all white. Because they're the people that care. They're the people that took their own time and their own money. Nobody paid us. There was no Soros money in our pockets. We went on our own time and our own money to pay. I paid for my own airfare to get to Virginia, and me and my brother and two of our family went with us, and we went by bus. And the people in the areas of Virginia that went down there that day, we paid for these buses out of our own pockets. And sometimes churches paid for some of the buses. So, again, no Jewish Soros money in our pockets, and we showed up. Well, these other people don't show up unless they're paid. Okay, if they need a presence of black people, they'll get Black Lives Matter or the Black Panthers and pay them. They pay them to show up. Okay, if they want a bunch of millennials, then they'll pay social justice warriors or snowflakes or cucks of the white race. They'll put money in their pockets and they'll show up. But they're not showing up because they believe in something. They're showing up because they're paid.
Yep, they're definitely paid. They don't show up. They don't show up unless they get paid. Yep.
Yeah, we're being scammed. All the way you can imagine. Now, Richie from Boston just put out a video where he has been crisscrossing the United States. I think the article said 5 times he's been a clear cross both directions. And he said this coronavirus thing is all propaganda. And I would agree. In our journeys over the past 2 months from between here in southern Florida and Virginia, we did not see anything at all like the news media is portraying. Nothing. So I would agree with Richie from Boston there that it's all bullshit. And then News with Views, the author Ron Ewert, that's Echo, Whiskey, Alpha, Romeo, Tango, Ron Ewert, just put up an article called How to Stop a Government Gone Rogue. And then John Rappaport just put down an article or just put up an article that says that the lockdown is 100% a psyop and Anthony Fauci should be charged with crimes against humanity. So should Burks, that hag that's up there with him, Burks, she's just as bad.
Yeah, she's a hag, all right.
But let me ask you a question, Cody. Go ahead.
I was going to say, kind of like that Michigan governor. She's a hag as well.
Well, you know why, right? Because that Michigan governor is a tranny.
Kind of like Michelle Obama.
Yes. Hey, now, a lot of people tell me that I'm crazy. I'm going to put the same bet out there. I'm willing to put money when the truth comes out because we don't have the truth right now, okay? I'll put my own money on a bet against anybody that wants to bet me. When the truth comes out, that governor of Michigan is going to be a tranny, and Michelle is Michael, a tranny, and Serena Williams, who's built better than most of the men I know, is a tranny as well, okay?
Well, I mean, you can tell that Michelle Obama, she's a man. It's obvious.
Oh, I know that. Her own family, the guy that used to be the family doctor even come out and said it.
Yeah.
Even said it. So, you know, and Joan Rivers, right before they killed her, said the same thing. Okay, so right there out of Hollywood, they had one of their own that outed Michelle as a tranny. So these trannies, these people are sick. That's what most Americans just don't seem to understand. These people are demented. They are true clinical psychopaths.
Yep.
All right? Normal people have a hard time understanding that. They think everybody, just because they got two arms and two legs, is like everybody else. They're not. These people are criminal psychopaths. They don't possess a conscience. They don't possess any empathy towards their fellow man. They are profligate liars and deceivers. Well, pretty much what Christ described the Jews as, okay? That's what these psychopaths are. So most of them are Jews, and a lot of them are proselytes. They're proselytes of the Jews. They go in there, they wave the money, the trinkets, or they'll get a guy like a Jeffrey Epstein, who's still alive, by the way. They'll get a Jeffrey Epstein in there that will entice them into a situation that'll compromise them. They'll get a way to get to you one way or the other. They'll either outright blackmail you, or they'll intimidate you, or if they can't get you to be under their control, they will kill you. And go, if you don't believe me, just go ask Dr. Dave Janda, who went to Washington to testify about the criminal medical mafia and what should be done to prevent instead of treat disease. And he was told by a senior ranking congressman that if he runs, they're going to offer you a position in government and you'll win. They'll make sure you win. But when they figure out that they can't control you, they will kill you. He actually told him that face to face, told him that in his office in Washington, D.C. I also heard something very similar from a personal friend, a longtime friend, who had a relative of his in the U.S. House of Representatives who left early. He did not finish out his time because he said something very similar. The corruption is unbelievable. The intimidation and threats are unbelievable. And I get back to what I say. Is the Rome, the Roman solution is the only solution in America that we have left. In fact, all the white nations, including Canada, okay, they've got a complete traitor in that Trudeau character. That guy is a piece of shit from top to bottom, all right? If the men don't rise up and be like the warriors of Rome and the generals, whoever, whatever they want to make as their generals, go find some righteous men that you believe in enough that you're willing to fight and die with them. That's all you need. Are you willing to go to the field of battle and fight and die with them? That's all you need to figure out. And then get the hell out there and let's do this thing. Okay? Because it's all going to go into the toilet, folks. It's like they told the people, on the Titanic. If you think you're going to survive this, folks, you're going to be like the people on the Titanic. When the ship goes down, it takes everybody with it. So all you people on welfare, all you people that have been sitting on your ass, all you people that have been supporting these Jews, all you people that have been laughing as men, especially white men, have been put down, all you people that have gone along with all of this crazy, complicated, and nefarious bullshit for the last 8 decades, you're going to go down with the ship. You people that think you've got retirements, you think you've got that nice, beautiful home with 3 cars and a boat and whatnot on the lake, you think you're going to have that when this is done? You people in the military and law enforcement, you think you're going to have your jobs much longer? What do you think is going to happen when the state runs out of money, guys? Go ahead, Cody.
You mentioned that they already freaking denied us our 2% raise because I work for the state. If no one doesn't know, but so they already can that. But yet Emperor Cuomo got a 40% raise, him and all his ilk.
They're flaunting it in our faces, Cody.
Yep.
That's what pisses me off. They're flaunting their draconian bullshit in our faces, and yet we sit here. And you know what's really irritating me is these protests. Why are we protesting for our servants to fix our problems? They created our problems. Why are we protesting, asking our servants to let us open up our businesses and have our homes and go out and get fresh air and stop the bullshit? Why are we asking our servants? Do you see the irony of that, Cody? We are asking permission from our servants.
We should basically be basically arresting these scumbags and putting them on trial, getting them right out of there right now.
Well, it's going to happen. I think you're right. I think there's an uprising. Right, the pot is boiling right now. Now when it's going to hit critical mass, I don't know. But at some point, there's going to be a sheriff that has some balls left. There's got to be one out there somewhere. And there's got to be men in the community that see the danger that we're in, and they're willing to pick up their weapons and get behind that sheriff and go arrest these criminals. You can start at the county level or take that group and go right up to the state capitol and start arresting everybody in there that's committed these crimes. But believe me, there's plenty of criminals to go around. You're going to be pretty busy. But pick out who the biggest criminal in your county is and go arrest them. Now, here's what happens if the men finally grow their balls back in their sacks where it belongs. Here's the good news. If you will do that, first of all, you men are going to feel better. Because right now you feel like you're castrated. I know you do, because I do. You feel like you're mentally castrated right now. You're sitting there thinking, well, my wife won't like what I do, and the neighbors might call me a name, but, you know, I really should go get my hunting rifle and just go. I know how you feel. If we do this, you're going to feel liberated. You're going to feel a sense of pride in yourself again because you're taking a stand. Even if it means you're going to get hurt. It's like James Lanthea said on this show last year. Where can I go to fight a righteous fight instead of fighting these no-win wars for the corporations? When can I fight a righteous fight with brothers of my own race for a righteous cause? Wouldn't it be grand to fight a righteous fight and go after these bastards? They want us to think we can't win, but I don't think that's true at all. I think they know we can win. They just have to keep us mentally castrated. Because think about this too. If the men do that and they feel good about themselves, all of a sudden the women are going to say, whoa, that's my man out there. He's not a cuck. He's not a little soy boy. He's out there making a statement, and I'm behind him. So now they feel much better. And think about this, Cody. What kind of message is that going to send to the rest of the tyrants in the county? Okay? Pick out the biggest one, whether it's a mayor or somebody else in the county that's corrupt beyond belief. Go after them and put them in front of a citizen's grand jury for whatever crime they committed. A lot of times it's treason or murder or kidnapping or pedophilia. That'll be a good start. Or performing abortions. That's a good start. That's murder. Go in there and put them on trial. And if you find them guilty, take them outside and hang them in a tree. Right then and there. Just like our ancestors used to do. Okay? Take them right outside to the great big old oak tree, throw a rope up over the strongest branch, and hang their ass right there. Do you think that that would send a message to the rest of the criminals in the county?
Definitely would.
How many criminals do you think would be in the county 24 hours later?
Not too many.
Not too many.
Or they'd be already straightened up.
That's right. They would be afraid that group, if they hung that son of a bitch, I'm not as powerful and I'm not as big or well protected. What chance do I have? That's all it would take. That's all it would take. And the criminals, it's here again. What does the Bible say? When the righteous stand firm, the wicked flee. Now, we're all sitting around bitching and moaning about these tyrants, these pedophiles, these Talmudic creatures that have destroyed our country. But what's the answer? The righteous haven't stood firm. We keep backing up. We keep drawing a new line in the sand. Well, if you do this, I'm going to fight back. Oh, okay. Well, if you do that, I'm going to... Oh. Okay, back up some more. Back up some more. Well, I didn't say anything when you murdered babies. Well, back up some more. Well, you got my children going into transgenderism and homosexuality. I'll back up some more. Now you're forcing us to buy car insurance and all this other nonsense. Back up some more. Now, pretty soon it's going to be, well, we can come in your house, and if you don't take the vaccine, we're going to take your family, and we're going to force them into a vaccine. And we're going to put you in jail because you know what? You sons of bitches won't take a stand for anything. Maybe while we're at it, we're going to rape your daughter in front of you. That'll be next. Or we're going to put your child into a sex slave trade market because you don't care. Because you guys won't fight for anything. Because that's where it's headed, Cody.
Yes.
They keep pushing and pushing and pushing. And where the hell's the pushback? And I'm talking about a pushback with a rifle and a bayonet on it. That's the only pushback that people like this understand.
Like General Stonewall Jackson said, give them the cold steel.
Give them the cold steel. Mao Zedong, okay? They're always telling us about what these great communist leaders. Well, what did Mao Zedong say? All political power comes out of the barrel of a rifle.
Yeah.
Okay? Very simple. Okay? So, and Mao Zedong, being an educated lawyer, much like Castro, so Castro was a Jew, educated lawyer from New York, your state. Mao Zedong was a lawyer and educated, I believe, in the States, and certainly had Jewish money in his pockets as well. So they know, because they studied under people similar to Marx and Lenin and Trotsky and Stalin and all the other murderous communists before them. Okay, they all studied the same material, and they know that people like to be left alone, but if you bring terror and military force against them, a lot of them will acquiesce. That's how they got the Russians. Before they could realize what was going on, they had murdered all of the major leaders of the White Russian resistance. Murdered them. Tens of thousands, maybe hundreds of thousands of the leaders. The intelligentsia, the professors, the authors, the military commanders of the White Russians that were resisting, they murdered them. They'll do the same thing here.
I have a quote to read you, if I could read it real quick.
Sure.
It's from our good friend Adolf Hitler, right out of Mein Kampf, and it says, "If a government uses the instruments of power in its hands for the purpose of leading a people to ruin, then rebellion is not only the right, but also the duty of every individual citizen." That's right out of Mein Kampf.
Yeah.
So I like that quote. But
well, that's why they vilify Hitler, okay? They vilify anybody that actually stood for anything good. Okay. Same thing with Saddam Hussein. Okay. They vilify him, but you know what? Saddam Hussein and Muammar Gaddafi, if you were a citizen, there were no restrictions on your gun ownership there. They could possess guns that you and I can't possess here. He didn't fear his people. They said he was a tyrant. Really? Who says so? Oh, the same media that lied to us about Waco and Randy Weaver and Oklahoma City and 9/11, and also lied to us about Serbia, remember? Yeah. Assad gassed his own people. That was bullshit. That there's a terrorist groups like Al-Qaeda. That's bullshit. They're all run by the intelligence agencies like Mossad and CIA. So, again, centralized government always are the evil behind what's going on. Always. There's no real group of people trying to rule the world or destroy. No, most people just want to be left alone. It's these bastards in government and intelligence agencies that want to rule everybody else because they're psychopaths. I don't know what's going to happen, Cody, but I'm praying for the day when a bunch of men decide that I've had enough. I'm praying for it while I'm still able to carry a rifle and I can still go onto the field of battle. I can't run as fast as you younger guys, and I probably couldn't do much in hand-to-hand combat like I could 40 years ago. But I can still drive a truck or a tank. I can still load a howitzer. I can still field a rifle.
I can even do latrine duty.
I'll even do latrine duty for the guys that want to fight. I'll do whatever you want me to do, guys. But let's do something.
No.
Like somewhere, said, somehow, we have to do something. Go ahead, Cody.
Something's definitely brewing. I really believe that. I think, you know, people are definitely fed up. Fed up to the point where, you know, they want to do something.
Well, I'm a simplistic person, okay? Everybody wants to complicate things when really most everything in this world is very, very simple. And I like what Henry David Thoreau said. For every 1,000 people whacking at the branches of the tree of evil, there's only one chopping at the root. Okay? So for every 1,000 groups out here wanting to file petitions, file lawsuits, blah, 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 blah. The root of the tree loves it when you're doing that because they've got 1,000 or 2,000 or 3,000 or 4,000 other branches. That's why they call it the deep state. That's why they got you all in a tither over coronavirus while they're over here committing all kinds of other acts of treason that you're not even paying attention to. They've got 1,000 of them. So here you are whacking at, oh, you're not going to force me to vaccinate. You're not, okay, but now all these other tentacles off that tree are committing all kinds of other crimes. So for every 1,000 of our patriots trying to fight these tentacles, it's the identity guys that know where the root is. We know where the root is, guys, don't we? Wouldn't you say the average person that knows this message knows the root of this tree? Cody?
Definitely. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, if they don't know what it is by now, they, you know, that know this message, then there's something wrong with them, I guess.
Let me ask you a question. If we were to chop that root out, do you think that most of our problems would disappear almost overnight?
Oh, definitely overnight, yeah, without a doubt.
Yeah.
Overnight,
so,
it would be gone.
Right.
Yep.
Exactly.
You would have
nothing. Exactly. So a small army of our guys, wouldn't have to be a huge army, a small army of dedicated men to root out the problem, get rid of the root of all the evil that's going on right now. You chop the root out, guys. Anybody grew up on a farm, how do you get rid of a big old tree on the farm? Back in the old days, what'd they do? They chopped the roots. Chop the roots and the tree dies. Without the root system, it can't live. It dies, and you can just push it over or set it on fire. If you're in a hurry, you can dig it up, but that's a lot of work. Whereas chopping down the roots, or trimming all the bark, that's almost the same thing. Put a ring around the tree and chop all the bark off of it. Now it can't get any nourishment. The principle is still the same. Cut off the source. What is the source of all the Jewish power? The Soroses, the Rothschilds, the Schumers, the Pelosi, and all these other misfits that walk amongst us. Their source of power is their fiat money system. How are they buying off our sheriffs and make them operate under federal control instead of local control like you're supposed to? With money from Washington. How are they buying off our mayors and governors? With money that they're promising your states. How are they buying off the school boards? With money, grants. How are they buying off the people right now? Stimulus checks. Stimulus for what? The bankers are walking away with billions of dollars in their pocket. You're getting a measly $1,200. Okay? So again, money. Money, folks. That's why the founding fathers said never give up control of your money to the government. Never. Because who controls the money? Controls the society. That's why they got us to buy into this whole notion that Washington should issue the money, and then all the Jews had to do in 1913 was get in there and create the Federal Reserve Act, and that took the money out of the people in Washington's hands and put it in the private Jewish bankers' hands. Talk about slick maneuver. And the people just went around, kept on doing their day-to-day things while the enemy was working like termites. Just like termites eating away at your house all night long while you're sleeping. There they are. They're working nonstop, night and day, eating away at your structure, at your institutions. Now, they're letting criminals out of jail, but they're putting preachers in prison. What does that tell you? Who's in charge? The Talmudists. They hate Christ. They hate Christianity. The Muslims. They don't want you in power. The Muslims are just another branch of the Zionists, just like the Roman Catholics, another branch of the Zionists. Better wake up, folks. That's all I got to tell you. You better wake up. Better wake up fast. It's here at the doorstep now. We've been talking about this for decades, but it's here at the doorstep now. Got anything else, Cody?
Not really. I mean, if anyone, I don't know if I can... I don't know, well, call it a plug or anything. I'm just here to try to help people. If anyone is looking for, you know, like survival food or anything like that,
yeah.
I'm pretty sure ReadyHour.com. They still, as far as I know, they still have stuff. Because as far as I know, all the other places, you know, the MREs and freeze-dried meals and stuff, they're pretty much out. And they're not going to be in stock anytime soon. But this Ready Hour, this ReadyHard.com. This is kind of like their bread and butter. So last I knew, they still had stuff in stock. So ReadyHard.com. Oh. Anyone that's looking to, you know, stock up on food. So
okay.
Just in case, you know, it runs dry and you need to feed yourself or your family, check it out. I don't know. Like I said, I haven't looked in a little bit, but they may still have. I'm pretty sure they're still in stock. But other than that,
oh, okay.
I got nothing else.
All right. So, all right, Cody. Well, I'm going to go ahead and close it down, I think, for tonight. And
all right.
Tomorrow night at 8, we'll be on with Biblical Truths with Dan from Georgia, especially for folks that are just new to the message. We're going through the Bible verse by verse. For you guys that have been around for a while and know the scriptures and all, it'd be kind of boring for you folks. But we do take calls. If something important comes up, you know, go ahead and do that. And then I don't know if I'm going to do one Friday yet or not. Probably Sunday morning will be the next broadcast. Might be one Friday if something important comes along. But thanks a lot, Cody, for joining. I enjoyed the chat. And I asked Father Yahweh to bless your heart and bless your home and keep you guys safe. And we'll see what happens, okay?
All right. Thank you, sir.
Yeah, take care, buddy.
All right, bye-bye.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to go ahead and close up in prayer. That was Cody, and unfortunately, he's in the terrible state of New York. You know, I shouldn't say terrible state, because I've lived in New York for a short time and worked up there. I've got friends up there now and whatnot. It's a beautiful state, much like Pennsylvania, where I'm from. Beautiful, beautiful state, beautiful people. Unfortunately, they've got some of the worst government on earth in New York and even Pennsylvania now. Some of the worst, some of the most despicable pieces of shit that ever came out of a sewer in their governments. And for the folks out there, well, Dan, you sure don't talk like a preacher. You sure use a lot of that. I got to tell you something. I told you that's why I changed to calling myself Commander Dan, because you people got this silly notion. Remember we talked about silly notions? You people have this silly notion that because you're a man of the Father and talking about the Father's words that all of a sudden you can't talk like a man anymore, that you got to trade in your nutsack to be a preacher. Really? I got news for you. The men of the Bible didn't do that. David sure as hell didn't do it. Joshua didn't do it. Moses didn't do it. Abraham didn't do it. Isaac didn't do it. Jacob didn't do it. Jeremiah sure as hell didn't do it. Okay? So where do you think that that's a prerequisite to teach and preach the word? I got to talk like a little pansy, little fairy boy? Our country is on the verge of dying. Our race is under attack. And if you think that my main concern is using flowery speech, I got news for you. It's not. If I think using a explicative word from time to time is going to get your attention, then I'll use it. I'll do whatever it takes to get through that thick skull. Because just like the Bible says, the consciousness of the people is seared over. You got a seared conscience. And anybody that's been on a farm and had an animal that got hurt and took a hot iron to it to sear over the wound, it forms a scab, a hard crust, so they don't bleed to death. Well, that hard crust is hard to get through. That's what he's talking. Our consciousness, our brains are hard to get through at this time. Sometimes you got to use a hammer. Sometimes you got to hit people where it hurts to get their attention, just like he's doing right now with all this nonsense that's going on. And it is 100% nonsense. But Cody, again, thanks for calling in, and Yahweh bless everybody that's been here tonight and for the folks that will listen to, later on. Also, I want a word to you folks that have contacted me saying that the link that I put up for the broadcast is not taking you to where it used to, where you could download the program. That's because the free conference call has changed whatever they're doing. I can't get that file for 24 hours. So I put a temporary link up for 24 hours, and then I replace it with the old file to where you can go in there and listen and download it if you wish. So it's still the same, only it's a 24-hour delay. Dear Heavenly Father, we give you the praise, glory, and honor. Thank you for this opportunity to share with our brothers and sisters. We know things are looking pretty bleak for us folks, and it's our fault, Father. We're not saying it's not. We're not trying to push the blame off on anybody else. We look in the mirror, and there's the culprit right there. We lack courage. We lack discernment. We lack the ability to put off our petty differences and our backbiting and our fighting and our gossiping with each other and operate like a family. We get jealousies between men, jealousies between women, jealousies between women and men. You name it. We let any little offense stand in the way of fellowship, stand in the way of being brothers and sisters that are part of a family. This is a family affair. The whole Bible is talking about a family. No matter where we are, no matter what land our feet are treading, no matter what language we're speaking, we're of the same DNA, the DNA of Adam. We are your sons and daughters, and we find ourselves in this jam because we just can't think past our nose. We can't see past the end of our nose. We can't look into the future. As the proverb says, we have lost vision. My people suffer from a lack of vision. It's not only truth and knowledge that we suffer a lack of. We can't even visualize liberty and freedom. We can't visualize our own nation being for our people because we've been so propagandized by the electronic toilets that we've lost our vision. We've lost our cohesiveness as a family. And we're going to be punished for it. We're being punished for it right now. And I'm going to tell you something. It's punishment for me to watch this. Knowing the Father the way I do and what his heart is, because he's revealed it to me, folks. And he will reveal it to you if you ask him. That's all I did as a little boy or a young man sitting on that bed that night. I just asked him to reveal it to me. That's all. Nothing fancy. I didn't even use the word Yahweh. Back then it was Lord and God and Jesus. But you know what? He still knew who I was talking to. And he honored that prayer. I'm going to tell you, it comes at a cost, though. To know the heart of the Father, what his will is for this earth and how beautiful it is and what this world could be like, and then to see what we've allowed it to become, that's hard. That's hard. And Father, I don't repent of asking you that, but I'm asking for a double dose of the outpouring of your Holy Spirit, because I'm telling you, this is crushing me. I have to admit, it is crushing me to sit here and watch this stupidity go on day in and day out, and so few people that give a damn. I need help from on high, not human help. I need your help, Father. And I'm going to pray all of the warriors out there that you would give them a double portion of that same spirit, because it's got to be hurting them as well. To know what we should be doing and not doing it, it hurts. Pour out your spirit, Father. Let us see the wisdom of your battle plan. We know we can't trust in the arm of flesh at this time. You are our rock and our refuge. That's the only refuge we've ever had. But boy, it sure would be nice if you would draw us into battle formation pretty soon and put an end to this complete lunacy and all of the death and disease and the manipulation, lying, cheating, stealing, assassination, murder, and rape. It's disgusting. We pray for the coming of your kingdom and you to sit upon the throne as our true king. We give up on this whole notion that man should rule over man. We repent of that. Our ancestors asked for it to their shame and to our tribulation. And we want to come back to the way it was in the beginning. And may it be that that is what happens in the very near future. So that this complete lunacy will come to an end. Bless all those who listen. Bless all those who teach, as Cody's trying to do, for those that will listen, that will teach and preach. And we stand before you as willing vessels, Father. Fill us up with your Holy Spirit and make us workmen, for the harvest is great and the workers are few. Be with us and guide us. Forgive us our stumblings and shortcomings, and protect us from our enemies. We ask this in Yahweh's precious name. Hallelujah.